We're in the middle of the ninth perek of the Piyasetzna of the Chovas Talmidim, and this is a sefer that we've been learning once a week for many years, and it's, we've Baruch Hashem had over the years numerous guests that have come visit, and sometimes alumni that have come back. It's very nice to have Moshe Cousins here in the audience. Baruch Hashem. Moshe was always a regular, actually sat right over there, if I'm not mistaken. Around, or something like that. It's very sweet to have you here. So, we were talking about how a person fixes his chesroinus. Some people kind of just like resign themselves to this is who I am. But it's not true. A person can change. And the way a person changes, there's two major ingredients, says the Rebbe. One ingredient is a person has to find a moment when he's not like in the throes of his nidrekeit. It's a Yiddish word. Nidrekeit means the lowness and the baseness. When he's not in like the in that situation, when he's above it, he feels like removed a little bit. And then he could look a little bit more objectively and say, is this what I want to be? Is this who I want to be? And then he could make a commitment at that moment. That's a very important weapon, tool that a person can use, is making a commitment, a Kabbalah. And he has to be firm in his Kabbalah, and he has to repeat his Kabbalah, he has to daven for his Kabbalah. And that way, when he gets to that moment where he's got that struggle, he remembers that Kabbalah. Not different than the way that Yosef HaTzadik remembered the image of his father. That image didn't just pop up on its own. He brought that image. Because his whole life was because I want to give nachas to my father. I want to be able to make my father proud. And it was something that was important to him. And then at that moment when he was feeling weakness, all of a sudden the image of his father came. He says, I'm not doing it. And a person makes a Kabbalah and a commitment. That Kabbalah can like kind of like be conjured up in that moment where he's like, should I go? Should I not go? Should I do it? Should I say it? Should I not say it? And he reminds himself, no, I'm not doing it. So one thing that's important is moments of truth. Moments of clarity. Moments of elevation, moments of inspiration. And at that moment, seize the moment, capture the moment, make a Kabbalah in that moment. That's one thing. Another thing that's very important is a person has to realize that life's going to be hard work. You have to be prepared to work hard because it doesn't make a difference. A person's not going to be inspired 24/7. He's going to have difficult moments. And we see one of the amazing things, the stories we see about the Avos HaKadoshim. They had rough times by the Avos HaKadoshim. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult for all of them. And that's what made them great. And what makes them great is that they're able to travel through rough times, through choppy waters. You become a great sailor when you're able to navigate choppy waters. A person that everything is smooth sailing, so then he's a nobody. There's nothing impressive. And we have to realize it's going to be rough work. We're going to work very hard. And if a person is prepared to work hard, and realize it's not just hard work, says the Rebbe, it's consistent work. Consistently work hard. A person can't take his foot off the pedal. He can't take the kettle off the fire. A person can't do that. If he does that, he's just going to cool off, and then he's going to have to start all over again. So a person has to be ready to consistently work hard. He does that, he's guaranteed success. It's going to get easier. It's going to become more enjoyable. And he's going to be successful. However, he says just a little bit more. Another tool. And now he doesn't say this is necessary, but he says this is something that you know. It's a trick of the trade. We're on page Ayin Tes, the bottom paragraph. V'yochol ato lehishtamesh. You can use. Gam bepeulois mamashios. Peulois mamashios means using techniques. Using a maneuver, a physical thing, something that is a trick of the trade. There are certain things that people have to know. Pa'ulos mamashios are things, litzorech tikunecha, that you can use for your tikkun, to fix you. I learned in yeshiva, in the Pesach yeshiva, it was called yeshiva, the Talmudic Institute of Pesach. And we had a mashkiach named Rav Mordechai Schwab. Rav Mordechai Schwab was tzaddik yisoid oilam. The stories about Rav Mordechai Schwab, they was when he was nifter. So Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Ruvain Grozovsky, they were two big guys. Reb Baruch Ber is the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, and Reb Ruvain, his son-in-law, is the Rosh Yeshiva later of Beis Medrash Elyon, Torah V'das, two great Rosh Yeshivas. Reb Och Ber is the primary Talmud of Reb Chaim Brisker. You're talking about major people. So at his Levaya, they said that there was a machloikis between Reb Och Ber and Reb Ruvain, whether a Mutcha Shuav was going to be a Tzadik Nister or a Tzadik Nigla. In other words, did he have the tchunas hanefesh? Did he have the personality of someone that everyone's going to know he's a tzaddik, or he's going to be one of those hidden tzaddikim? So machlokes Reb Och Ber and Reb Ruvain, and they said that both of them became true because everyone knew who he was, and that everyone knew who he was. No one knew who he was. Everyone was a tzaddik, but no one really knew how big of a tzaddik he was. Talking about a major tzaddik in the family, they have reason to believe that he had Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi, that Eliyahu HaNavi spoke to him. They had reason to believe. Mutche Schwab, I was zeichet to learn with his grandson Bechavrusa. So his grandson told me stories about him. There was one story they told over at the Shiva that someone came in and said that Mutche was able to do Goral HaGra. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. Very few people in our generation still know how to do it. He did Goral HaGra to someone, and basically the story was and he did the Goral HaGra. When it came out, Reb Mutche said, "This Goral HaGra, half the pasuk's for you, half the pasuk's for me. Half the pasuk is for you. It's about he had a question in business. He told him what to do. The other half of the pasuk is for me. That this pasuk is saying that I'm going to die this month. I'm going to die. Reb Mutche was healthy. I'm going to die this month." So this person, his name is Nagel. He got all like bent out of shape. He's like, "Okay, we have to like tell people. We'll make tefillas. You know, everyone will have a yom tefillah and everything." He says, "No, don't tell anyone. I ask you from telling anyone, because if you tell anyone, someone else is going to die." Now, my suspicion, it's only a suspicion, no one will know, is that this really wasn't meant to be Reb Mutche. He took it. It was meant to be this person. Because the Goral HaGra is for him, not for Reb Mutche. Reb Mutche took it. He said, "I'm going to die. And I ask you from telling anyone." He didn't tell anyone until the Shiva. At the Shiva, he told them that Reb Mutche would die. His grandson told me that he died with zero money in his bank account. He wrote checks for everything that he had. He liquidated his entire account. Everything was given out. The last shmuz he gave in yeshiva, I was in yeshiva, he went around and shook everyone's hands and said goodbye. It's crazy, crazy. He never ever did that. He walked around and he said goodbye to everybody. That was it. You're talking about a very, very holy Jew. When Reb Mutche passed away, they found some notes from Reb Mutche. They found his notes. One of the things, one of his kabbalas, was that when he brushes his teeth, he's thinking about cleaning his mouth from any type of lashon hara that he might have ever spoken. That's a pu'ula mama. That's what one of these huge people, these Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi, think about this. You know, some of us might say, that's so childish. A person has to learn how to use these types of techniques. Use a trick. This is a trick of Reb Mutche Schwab. And the yeshiva was like everyone was wild for, everyone was talking about it. When you brush your teeth, think about cleaning your mouth. You shouldn't clean your mouth from anything that you said that was wrong, that was inappropriate, that wasn't nice. Clean your mouth. When I was a kid, there was this thing that used to wash people's mouth out with soap. I don't know if you're familiar with that concept. So Reb Mutche was just doing it to himself. He was just using, you know, toothpaste instead of soap. But his idea was, I want to clean my mouth. Anyway, that's just an example of a pu'ula mamashiyos. It's a technique, doing something to be ma'orer yourself. Reb Mutche was very into that. Reb Mutche had on his desk, he had a rock. I don't know if you ever saw this. I've seen these rocks. These rocks are from Har Sinai. There's apparently something called a Har Sinai rock. Any of you ever saw that rock? Yeah. It's a cool rock. It's a rock that it has, somehow, there's like an image of a burning bush on the rock. And if you break the rock in half, it has the image on it on the inside also. Anywhere that you break the rock, it's got the image. It's very interesting. Anyway, so but there's no real makar for this, 100%. Reb Mutche had one on his desk. He said it's nice to have something like tangible. It's tangible Har Sinai. There's something special about making things tangible. People wonder about, you know, like, should you go to Europe? Should we go to Europe? Is it a type of thing like, why are we going back to these places? People that they mistreated us so much in Hungary, Rachman al-Tzlan, disgusting people, what they did in Hungary, it's insane. It's famous by the Dubai River. There's a monument there, we'll see it. They lined up the Jews by the Dubai River, they tied them together and they shot them into the river. It's disgusting, it's despicable, the lack of respect and dignity they had for Yidden. They made them take off their shoes first because they wanted their shoes. Why are we going to Hungary for? What are we doing that? Why wouldn't we give them another penny? And I honestly used to feel that way for many years until I went by accident. But there's something to be had. There's something to be said for when you're there. It's mamashius. Do something about it. You're feeling it. You're living it. It's a totally different experience. It's a totally different experience. You come out a different person. Everything changes about the way that you can connect with something because it became physical. It's something that's tangible. You could touch it. You could touch. So over here, a person can use pu'ulois mamashios, techniques. Use their ideas a person can do. L'tzorech tikunecha, in order to fix yourself, to improve yourself. U'be'inyin hakas l'mashal. And there he gives a mashal. It's a little bit different than what we're talking about, but it's a mashal of a technique. If a person gets angry, let's say a person has a problem with temper management. Tikba al atzmacha. You should be kaveh, you should establish for yourself. Shekesha sherak targish bikir b'cha nidnud shel kas. When you start feeling even just a small pang of anger, you're starting to get a little bit angry at someone. Toyimah b'pincha. You should say in your, with your mouth. Eze dvar Torah. You should say it about Torah. When you start feeling that anger, you start feeling frustrated or angry. Torah the Moshul, you should say. Torah the Be'elio. Kol ha-shoyna ha-lochos b'chol yoyim. Muvtach lo'i shehu ben oylom habo. Now, that has nothing to do with kas. What am I saying that for? I'm not saying, I'm not reminding myself of what's this? He's using a technique. It's a maneuver. It's a great Dvar Torah. Keep it in your pocket. If we all say the same Dvar Torah, then I guess everyone else will know when someone's angry. It's like, we say that Dvar Torah. Oh, okay. You're angry? What are you angry about? And then, okay, you have to be careful. But a person can choose whatever Dvar Torah he wants. Anything he wants, he could say. But you get angry. This is a technique that he's saying, which is for a person to kind of like distract himself. Say a Dvar Torah. What does this help?
If you could say something that needs eon, that it's like a shtickle toiro, something that needs depth, mat besecho, that needs your mind to think about something, yoiser toiv, it's even better. Reishis dvar hatoyra shetamik ba togim etatzilcho min hayetzer akas. First of all, toiro is megan. Torah protects you from midos ra's, from bad things, from averus. So first of all, the school of Torah will protect you. Vigam, poshut b'derech teva haguf ukach. And aside for that, this is just the nature of a person. Min shigon b'rega zeh al oisedover hu kas. Kas is a little craziness. A person gets angry, he gets bavildat, he gets wild, he gets... He loses himself when he gets angry. It's very hard for a person to think really logically when he's angry. Very hard. Should I be saying that? Should I be doing that? Wait a second, am I going to regret this? People don't think about that when they're angry. And they totally lose themselves when they're angry. So therefore, and he doesn't think, he doesn't think not to get angry because he doesn't have a normal, healthy state of mind. That's hashigon dachsohu. This craziness that is this idea of craziness is pushing him. He doesn't come totally crazy in every way. He becomes crazy in that one thing. Lachain.
To start like trying to climb down the tree, to start thinking about going against the das, he can't do. To start thinking thoughts about why I shouldn't be angry now, it's just he's too caught up in his anger. Distract yourself. Rather, a person should distract yourself. So, he can't think now not to get angry. A different thought. Yekelo yoiser lachshoif. Yacholayim ras divrei Torah she'eino misnagdim lachasoy. Say something that has nothing to do. Think about something. Just distract yourself until your anger just subsides, until it resides, until he calms down. Just try to distract yourself. Give yourself time, because in the heat of the moment, a person is not going to be logical.
When you try to distract yourself for a moment
and you think about b'dvar Torah, yavar shigoyin me'olav, and then the anger will pass, the craziness will pass. V'sichlo habari yekel is gaber gam kineged kaso v'limsho v'lo lichas. Then one person won't get angry. Listen to this amazing dvar Torah from the Stipler. The Heilige Stipler in the Sefer Birchas Peretz speaks about the makas, about makas tzvardeya. Listen to this beautiful dvar Torah. The tzvardeya was very interesting. What happened? The pasuk says vatal hatzvardeya. Hatzvardeya means the frog. The frog came in hayor. It sounds like there's only one frog. That's not such a bad makah. There's only one frog in all of Mitzrayim. That's actually how it started. One frog. And what happened? They had this big frog, and it was just getting in the way. So someone hit the frog. And what happened? The frog multiplied into two. Now there's two frogs. And now this frog, these two frogs, were all getting in the way. So they hit that frog, and it became four, and it became eight, and it became 16, became 32, became 64, it became that also. And all that stuff. And it just kept going. Until there were frogs everywhere. Frogs in his hair, frogs in his bear, frogs on his nose, frogs on his toes. There were frogs everywhere. Asks the Stipler, explain this to me. It makes no sense. If you see that by hitting the frog is going to multiply, so all you're doing is you're making your situation worse. Why in the world would they keep hitting? I understand they hit it the first time. Who knows? They hit it maybe twice. Once they start saying, okay, this is not helping, why do they keep hitting the frogs? Says the Stipler, Moiradik. He says, when a person gets angry, he pushes, loses his seichel. He does the dumbest things. He shoots himself in the foot. He does things, this is not going to help you. But when you're angry, you lash out. And you do things, even if it's just going to end up hurting you yourself. That's what happens when a person responds in anger. I learned by Avagoyin Rav Meir Stern, Shlita. Rav Meir Stern, apparently, the legend goes, Rav Meir Stern, he likes to stroke his beard a lot. So legend goes that whenever Rav Meir Stern was like taken off guard, he'd stroke his beard. Stroke his beard and he'd like pull it up. My beard's not long enough. He'd pull it up to like his chin. That's what he'd do. Oh, he'd stroke his beard like this. Now, being that the Bochum and Passaic were very big Hasidim of Rav Meir Stern, so the Bochum would stroke their faces. We didn't have beards, but everyone would be stroking their face and be pulling their beard up. No beards. It was before beards were in style. Anyway, but definitely no one had long enough beard to do that. And everyone was stroking their beards and picking them up. It was great, by the way, because it gave us a moment to think. What was the Rashi? That was his way of, that was his pu'ula that he did, his pu'ulas mamashias. He'd always go like this before. He would never respond right away. Something happened. Let me think. I want to make sure I don't say something I'm going to regret. Because sometimes we get caught in the moment and we say things we're going to regret. So the best thing is, try to calm yourself down. Calm yourself down by Dvar Torah. Even just a thought, something. If it's something that takes depth, it's even better. Because then your whole mind is like caught up in this idea. And then the cast kind of like just disappears. But a person can get caught up in a moment, and then some things can happen, and you're just doing damage to yourself. Rabbi Beryl Wine, before he was a Rav, was a lawyer, and he told us a story once that he was negotiating the sale of a high rise condominiums in Florida, two condominiums. You're talking about condominiums that then they were worth, he said, around $6 million. You're talking about many, many years ago. Today, you're talking about, let's say, $30, $50 million based on the change of inflation. These huge condominiums, right? You're talking about, and they agreed on a price. They're at contract. And it's Nisar, the Shaila question comes up, who gets the quarters that are in the laundry machine? Who do they belong to, the buyer or the seller? Now, how much are the quarters in the laundry machine? Are you talking about $3, $4? What are we talking about over here? You're talking about a $6 million sale, a $30, $40 million sale, and you're arguing over $6? Are you joking? And the sale fell through. They got into a fight, And that's it. And then they started like screaming at each other, you're being cheap, or you're being cheap, and you've been, and then phew, the whole thing's gone. The whole sale fell through. Why? Because when you get angry, it's like, let me think for a second. Is it worth $6? I'm buying a building for $6 million. So I'm going to argue over $6? That's crazy. But people, when they get angry, they do crazy things, they say crazy things. So a person has to come up with a technique. Says the Rebbe, I've got a great technique. Try to remind yourself. Think of a good Dvar Torah you're going to keep in your pocket. Think of something that you're going to say. That you're going to tell me the Beil Yo. Just say that and you'll see. It's something, you'll probably smile a little bit because it's like, whatever. And then it'll change. I'm trying to make that change. Bichlal. In general, I'd like to complain. The Rebbe is now going on a rant. Al shebeitim halalu. Nowadays, kinu es hakas b'shem chul shos ha'atzavim. Nowadays, people don't get angry. They have problems with their nerves. They're nervous. U'bishvil ze mispater ha'ish. A person is now excusing himself. It's not my job. It's not my problem. I was born this way. I have a condition. A person has conditions, so then we don't blame him anymore. That's not his problem. This is a weakness that I have in my body. It has nothing. It doesn't depend on me. There's nothing to do about it. This is my condition. And people like to like write things off as long as you could give it some sort of title. You say he's got some sort of symptom or he has like a syndrome. There's something called road rage. Road rage is that when someone gets cut off on the highway, so he gets very, very angry, and he can do things that he's not held responsible for because it's road rage. And now we've given it a label. Oh, okay, it's not his fault anymore. Now he's got road rage. Or, this I heard from Rabbi Yisachar Frand. I've never really studied this or researched it at all. But Rabbi Frand said that there was a person who killed someone else because he wouldn't give him a Twinkie. So the lawyer said that he had Twinkie syndrome because he was very, very much attached to his Twinkies. So it was a weakness. He had a weakness. So you can't hold him accountable because he had the Twinkie syndrome. So this is what the lawyer is trying to get him, like, you know, a lighter sentence because, you know, Nebuch, he has Twinkie syndrome. You know, so we're not holding ourselves accountable for the fact that a person's getting angry. So we say, okay, it's I have a weakness. That's not an excuse. Hey, in MS, there is truth. A person, his something grates on his nerves, so then that'll make him easier to get angry. Let's take a look. Let's understand what happens when a person gets angry. Someone who's not a yid, when he gets angry, she'll even kill him. If you have a low-class Jew, yakeu. So he gets angry, he'll hit someone who raises his hand to him. A Jew that's more refined, lo yarug af lo yake. He won't kill, he won't even hit. Maybe he'll throw an insult at him. Everyone's got the same thing. Everyone's got the same frustration. Not everyone's going to do the same thing. One time I was going to the mikveh, and I brought a glass cup with me to be toivel, and the kelim mikveh was closed, so I brought it into the regular mikveh. I was toivel in the regular mikveh. Now, it's not a smart thing to do, because the glass was chipped, and there was a chip of the glass came off. So when the person in charge found out, he had to close the mikvah. So he got very upset at me. So what did he say? He said, Gebench sollst du sein! What does that mean? That means you should be blessed. that was what he said when he was angry at me. Gebench zolst du sein. That was, you know, that's what came out of his mouth. Someone once saw a vikuach between Rabbi Yeshua Soloveitchik and a taxi driver. They were arguing over a price. So Rabbi Yeshua got very upset. So he threw the money down and he said, Seid gesund! That's the way he talks. A very high, gets like high pitch. Seid gesund! Which means you should be well. So the taxi driver said, Ani seid gesund! Ata seid gesund! Because he didn't know what he was saying to him. He thought he was cursing him out. Ani seid gesund! Ata seid gesund! He's like, but when a person gets angry, so what happens when he gets angry? So some people, they get angry, they totally lose it, and they start hitting people. They can even kill someone because he took this Twinkie. And then there's other people that they could curse someone out. There's other people that they're frustrated, they're angry. So what comes out of their mouth? Gebench sollst du sein. Should be blessed. Or seid gesund. So it's not an excuse just because we're frustrated or angry to lash out. A person has to know that what's coming out is what's inside. What's inside? The same way if you squeeze an orange, what's going to come out is orange juice. You'll never get apple juice. When you squeeze someone, he's frustrated and we blurt something out. What blurts out? What's inside? So if a person is a edel person, he's a kind person, he's a clean person, what's going to come out is edel, kind, clean things. So that's something that we can work on. V'adavar hu pashut, ish ha'er, yochol lahagbil es nafshoi, af lizman shnasoi. A person has the ability, even when he's sleeping, he has the ability to set certain things, certain boundaries. Lehagbil es nafshoi. Kishu misgalgel, when he is rolling around, b'shnasoi ana v'ana, he's rolling back and forth in his bed. Kishi yagia l'ktzei mitoso, he gets to the edge of his bed. Lo yitzgalgel achutz ha'artzo, he's not going to fall off his bed. Rak yochish loshuv l'sgalgel toch mitoso. Somehow, subconsciously, he knows, and he rolls back to the other side of the bed. V'lo yipol, doesn't fall. Af shehayoshan hu, even though he's sleeping. Ve'ein lo dea b'shazu, he has no, he's not awake, he's not aware. He lost himself. He doesn't have his wits about him. Aval daitoy hakavua b'nafshoy, but he is already knows, he's something that's inside of him, it's ingrained. We'll call it latent. It's like latent, it's subconscious inside of him. I'm not falling off the bed. If a person inside himself says, there's certain things I will not do, it doesn't make a difference how angry I am, how frustrated I am, it's just not happening, it's just not coming out of my mouth, it's just not a possibility. When he's awake and when he's conscious, that creates boundaries. Gam ato, gam l'shas heidora. Even when he is not, when his das is not there. And I believe, Rabbi Yisai, close with this. This is the inyan of Purim, the inyan of drinking on Purim. Chayiv inish lebesume bepuria. Purim is a great litmus test. Purim is a tremendous litmus test. What happens to a person on Purim? On Purim, a lot of things can come out. What comes out on Purim? Some people, they dress up like rappers. They wear chains around their necks. They put on fake tattoos on their face, and they've been waiting for this day to finally be able to dress the way they wish they could dress the entire year. And that's what comes out, because that's what's inside. And there are some people, what comes out on Purim is a very strong desire to get closer to Hashem. Some people even say that they want to learn on Purim. They do that, I want to learn. Some people get dressed up as Hasidim because they really would love to be Hasidim, but you know, they just, it just doesn't work. It's a litmus test of what is going on inside. what's really going on inside. And that is so important. For sure, it's important to put on, you know, we wear the uniform and we walk the walk and we talk the talk. But if it's just that, so then we're missing the core. We're bankrupt, we're empty. So we gotta know what's really going on, and that's what we have to work on. When a person is angry, you can tell a person, bekasoi, bekisoi, ubekoisoi. You know what you can tell a person? Picasso when he's angry. Because then it's just whatever comes out. Bekoisoi when he drinks. And bekisoi is how he spends his money. That's for a different time. But the point is, that's a person is in control, should be in control, even when he's angry. Even when he drinks. If a person says certain things when he drinks, that means that's what's going on in his head. It's just now he doesn't have a filter, so he lets it out. But why is that in his head at all? We have to make ourselves, we have to work. It's a process. But I'm not just doing good things. I'm becoming good people. Becoming good people. What did Ramot Cheshwab look like on Purim? How did he act on Purim? I'm going to introduce you, my friends, to I think one of the nicest people I ever met. His name is Rabbi Yoman HaTzadik. You don't get the title Tzadik like just like that. It doesn't come so easily. Okay, but he's known in the world, Rabbi Yoman HaTzadik. I'm going to introduce him to you. I spoke to him about coming to yeshiva. You see a person. He's such goodness. He's such a good, nice, sweet. He's oozing sweetness. A bad word can't come out of his mouth. It can't. A negative word, an insulting word, a dirty word. It's such you can't even imagine. It doesn't make a difference how much you give him to drink. All he's gonna do is say nice things and be nice and hug people and tell them how great they are and daven and do that. That's it. It's like doesn't have a bad bone in his body. And we have to work on ourselves to become better people, not just to do better things. Continue, Be'ez Hashem, next time.